Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, so we all agree the Arizona defense is not particularly good. And we can have a debate at some point about how much of that leads to Jimmy Garoppolo's huge passing day. That being said, philosophically, what they did seems to have worked in that they completely stopped the Niners' rushing attack and forced the Niners to beat them through the air. Now, the Niners did do that, but does that still provide sort of a blueprint for what you imagine defenses will do to the Niners going forward? Can we get more used to this sort of dead-end rushing game from a team that ran the ball so well the first half of the year?
I don't know. My feeling is that every week, I think more and more teams have gotten used to, very recently, more and more teams have gotten used to the Belichick way of game planning, which is every game plan is a snowflake. And so, in other words, you don't really know for sure what you're going to see every week. And so, like, if I am preparing for the 49ers right now, I think one of the things that I'm looking at is, I would really like to be able to prevent their defensive line from owning the game. And right now, I think, look, the best thing that's happened to the Niners right now is that their defense has been huge, you know, for most of the year. They're outscoring teams by, I don't know, over 100 points. And all of that is because they've drafted well and they've signed free agents well, both in the secondary and up front. I think what's really impressive about this team right now, and it started to show in the game against Seattle on Monday night, is that their linebacker group, their young linebacker group, led by Fred Warner, is really responding to the, to the demands that that they put on him. I mean, Fred Warner is a second year guy, and he was playing until I forget his name, Aziz got the concussion, and he was playing extremely well. And they're all playing well, so you got to give that to Adam Peters and the scouting staff for coming up with guys who are going to fit Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh's system.
The depth chart has been the reason why the 49ers were able to get to 9-1 with all the injuries that have happened so far this year. It really is a testament to that front office and some of the decisions that they made. Some of the decisions in the next 3 weeks are maybe the fork in the road of where the entire season ends up going for the 49ers, Peter. Green Bay coming off a bye at Baltimore, at New Orleans. That sounds like about as three tough a weeks as you could put together without using the words New England Patriots, right?
I mean, right now, this is a tougher stretch than if you had three straight games against New England.
There you go.
I mean, I wrote about it this morning, and I said this is the toughest 15-day stretch of any team in the league all year without any question. Combined records of the opponents is 25-6. When you are at Baltimore and at New Orleans on successive weeks, and both of those teams right now, I mean, I would say right now in the AFC, I'd say if you ask one of those analytics guys, what's the percentage chance of one team going through to make the Super Bowl? I mean, Baltimore, I would think is number one right now in the AFC, and if New Orleans isn't number one, it's very tight for number one. So I sort of look at it and I say, you know, this is going to be the time when Kyle Shanahan basically can say to his team, look, you know, now we're going to find out how good we are. And, I mean, I think it's one of the things that makes their game against Green Bay so huge, because only a fool would say they're going to sweep New Orleans and Baltimore. Now, they might. You never know. It's the way football is. But I think that's what makes this game Sunday so important.
It's a huge one, no doubt about it. Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. Raider fourth-round rookie Max Crosby had a little bit of a coming-out party, making him just the youngest next Raider to come out with a coming-out party. Josh Jacobs has basically been having one all year. You could say that Derek Carr is enjoying a returning-to-relevancy party all year. And, man, so is John Gruden, who was doing in year two everything, Peter, that didn't really happen in year one. Is there a win total that makes John Gruden the coach of the year?
I mean, there's probably eight guys we could talk about right now for coach of the year. And I don't know the answer to that. I think if they win 10, he's the coach of the year. Well, then what happens if John Harbaugh wins 13? I can't answer that question because I don't know. But I think the one thing I would say is that in my feeling, I was skeptical, obviously, as I think most people were about Gruden returning. Not skeptical that he wouldn't do a good job, but skeptical that everybody looks at John Gruden as the great white whale and he's the best coach in football, you know, west of Belichick and all that stuff. And look, you know, I think John Gruden is a very good football coach, very good. But you got to have the players. And that's why I think that one of the best things, you know, and no one really knew at the time how good the match will be. And look, we're only, you know, 10 games into this. But I think the real key for the Raiders was the combination platter of Gruden and Mayock, because I think Mayock is the kind of guy who is so prepared and so smart that he can say to Gruden, John, and John obviously has the ability to do whatever he wants, but Mayock has the ability to be able to say, John, we're not doing this. Don't do this. And I think, I spent some time with Mayock and Gruden on day two of the draft this year, and Mayock twice in the first round of that draft, both with Josh Jacobs and with Jonathan Abram. You know, Gruden would have been fine if they ended up trading up a little bit, but Mayock said, hey, don't worry, we're going to get him, and they ended up getting him. So I think John Gruden needs to have somebody in that seat who he really, really trusts. And it isn't that he didn't think that McKenzie was good or anything like that, but he just didn't have that trust in him deep down. And so at this point, I think the whole Mayock thing, especially when you look at, and look, it isn't only Max Crosby, but you've seen Trayvon Mullen, who I think was like middle two. And then obviously, Foster Moreau has given him a great 1-2 combination at tight end. And obviously, you know, when you get Hunter Renfro past the middle of the draft, I think he was a fifth-round guy. When you get him that low and he's playing as well as he is, I mean, that's an incredible bargain. If Hunter Renfro had been the 35th pick in the draft instead of whatever he was, but, you know, 150 or 160 or whatever it is, I would have said, boy, what a great pick that was.
Yeah.
And now to get him where they got him, you know, I think the two teams in the NFL this year that I think when I look at are just having a good year as far as in the last couple of years, really, in terms of adding personnel and getting value for where they've added them, are Baltimore and Oakland. I think they've each done a great job, and it's showing. You know, if you can trade down a whole lot when you're the Baltimore Ravens in 2018 and get some incredibly valuable players and pieces, and when you can pick your franchise quarterback at number 32, that's a huge help to your franchise.
So all that assembled, are the Raiders a team that has done well enough to take advantage of a relatively soft schedule when everybody thought at the beginning of the year that it was going to be difficult, or the team that's still minus 25 in point differential?
Yeah, you know, I don't know, Ray. I think what they have to do is, you know, without being cliche-ish, but I think what they have to do is just say, okay, we got the Jets this week. Let's not worry about anything else other than how can we hit Sam Darnold 15 times on Sunday? And how can we stop the Jets on the road? And the Jets are playing a little bit better. So when you struggle to beat the Cincinnati Bengals at home, no win is a lock. And so I wouldn't be thinking too far ahead if I were the Raiders, you know, especially if the Chiefs were to lose tonight. I wouldn't be celebrating too much. I mean, it would be amazing if on, you know, November 19th or whatever it is, that the to see the Raiders ahead of the Chiefs in the AFC West and ahead of everybody. But you know, it's a credit to them for surviving the Bataan Death March of the road trip and all that stuff. But I mean, they've really, really done a great job.
Peter, I do not want to lead the witness in any way, but we do have to get to our final topic with enough time for you to dive into it. What did you think of what Kaepernick went through in Atlanta?
I think when you discuss this in a nuanced way, as I attempted to do this morning in my column, then, you know, nobody really seems very happy about it. In this hot take culture, everybody wants you to have a very strong opinion right now about what happened. But here are my three opinions that sort of conflict with each other. And I'll give them to you in very Cliff's Notes version. Number one, if he desperately wants to play in the NFL again, which he continues to say, he did not help himself at all on Saturday. Not at all. In fact, in the eyes of some, he really hurt himself. Just go out and work out, and for once, don't make it about all the people who are trying to wrong you. You know, he's got this, and again, we can discuss all the other things involved. Why did the NFL do it? Was this waiver proper? All this other stuff. Forget it. Go and work out. You know, go and show everybody just what they want to see, that you're still a good player. You've been invisible for 3 years. Nobody's seen you play football for a long time. Go and work out. And to continue to hear him say, oh, I desperately want to play football, I want to do this, and then to think of every excuse under the sun to not go out at when you've got potentially 20 or 25 teams that are going to watch you, I think is just it. The only word I can think of it really is sad. That's all I can think of. Now, the other part of it I will say is, in my opinion, the NFL, which whether it was good intentioned or not, the NFL did a dumb thing. And that is, there was no need to rush this thing into happening. The NFL people who I talked to said, basically, this workout should have happened sometime in February or March where people are thinking about next season. Nobody on November 15th or whenever this happened is thinking, hey, let's get Colin Kaepernick in here, teach him our offense so that he can play the last two games of the year. Nobody's going to do that. So why shoehorn this thing into your schedule? Give it some thought. And when you think about it, sit down with Colin Kaepernick and his people and say, let's talk about the ground rules. Let's get everything set up so at the end there isn't this back and forth bickering, oh, you're trying to screw me, you're trying to catch me, and all this stuff. Figure out the rules before you go into it. Didn't the NFL have an idea that Colin Kaepernick and his representatives would find something to be pissy about when they started this? And it, to some degree, rightfully so. Okay, so that's the second thing. But the third thing is, I thought Marcus Thompson wrote, and I don't know Marcus Thompson, but I read his column last night in The Athletic, and I thought it was really, really smart, which is that Colin Kaepernick is not going to do, which this is probably the reason why he'll never play again. Probably, but I still think there's a chance. But probably the reason he'll never do it is because if he senses any sort of injustice involved in the process, he's going to say, hey, screw it. I'm just not going to do it. It's more important for me to have ultimate fairness than it is to march to somebody else's drum. And that is, in essence, probably why he's never going to play football again.
Interesting stuff all the way around. And I know that you talk about wanting to discuss it in a nuanced adult, just filling out an application for a job way, and there are so many people who want to continue to just fish in a pond of outrage and how we got here in the first place. Do we have more olive branches and doves, or are people still very hawkish on this? The whole thing, to me, just screamed of hastily planned and poorly executed.
Yeah, it was right. You're absolutely right, and there was no reason to have it now. I have not heard one person, not one person, all year say, man, I wonder if Colin Kaepernick has been working out, and I wonder if he might be an option for us instead of Nathan Peterman or whatever. Not a soul has said that. And you can blame a lot of people for that, I'll say this because I think the NFL absolutely deserves its share of blame, whether it's Jay-Z, whether it's Goodell, whoever it is. They deserve their share of the blame for this for a very simple reason. They tried to wedge this into the NFL calendar when it needed some discussion before they call them and they say, hey, at 4 o'clock today, we're going to make this announcement, or however it exactly worked last Tuesday. But all I can say is this is the way I feel about things in life. If I desperately want something, and Colin Kaepernick says I don't know if he used the word desperately, but he really wants to play football. Football is a team game. And sometimes in a team game, you have to do some things that you don't really want to do. And if the control of this workout was so objectionable to you that you wouldn't put who you are right now as a football player on tape, I think that's Colin Kaepernick's fault.
Peter, thank you very much. Always a pleasure. And I won't make any promises, but feel free to plan something for yourself on Friday. We probably won't double dip with you this week.
Hey, you never know. Things tend to happen in the NFL this time of year.
Indeed they do. Thanks so much.
All the best, guys. Take care.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. Michael Irvin, Hall of Famer, the playmaker, he's going to join us coming up at 4 o'clock. We're looking forward to that around 4:30, a Kyle Shanahan press conference laying in the reeds. So don't you go anywhere. Your calls are certainly welcome. I know Ray, I know Matt, you both watched what happened in Atlanta with this Kaepernick thing, and we got an awful lot of football to talk about yesterday, but I do want to dive into it. It's certainly worth our time and attention for just a little bit. We're going to do that next here on 95.7 The Game, 888-957-9570. All of this coming up on a Monster Monday, brought to you by Benjamin Moore Paints, paint like no other, and by Dolan's Lumber Windows and Doors. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Michael Irvin comes by at 4 o'clock. We're looking forward to that conversation about a big, busy weekend of football. Part of that weekend was obviously Colin Kaepernick's workout in Atlanta, hastily scheduled by the NFL. I think that's something that we all agreed on. I am not defending the NFL in any way, shape, or form. I do have to say this, though. In the history of working out a quarterback, I could never name you a single wide receiver that took a catch. Not once. I have no idea any quarterback ever knowing who their wide receivers were. I'm guessing in most of the cases, they're all like just camp guys. They're just dudes. They're just, you know, very rarely are we bringing in Hall of Fame bound dudes to work out quarterbacks in any scenario. Look, Colin Kaepernick, probably more than anyone in the world, has the right to be NFL suspicious at all times, thinking that they might be doing something to work against me. We've seen that happen. I would not begrudge him that for a minute. If at any point the NFL was designing whatever was supposed to be this weekend was to measure the level of headache that he would continue to bring, and headache is just because I don't have a better word for it, and I want to talk about it quickly here. I don't know if he passed that. I don't know if that's something that he needed to pass, but Peter King said that he probably did, and I don't think he's wrong there. And I did think that Colin passed on the opportunity to just go out and throw, which probably might not have been the right idea. Maybe it is. I don't know. But, yeah, instead of worrying about the this, that, the other thing, like just make it about football. Just go and make it football, 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 football. And I'm not saying shut up and play. I'm just saying let your arm be the narrative. Be like the only thing anything was talking about was how good he looked, which by definition of how is how all of these things are built. He looked bad at the workout against Air in shorts. I've never heard that about anybody. So I understand why he'd be skeptical. But this might be very unwoke of me, but this is just some real world stuff, and watching the media having its who's most woke among us contest through a sequence of Twitter and stuff today has just been ridiculous. In all instances, it is the employer, not the employee, who sets the terms of interviews and applications and how one goes about getting work here or returning to work here. It's very normal that the employer sets the parameters of how you would go about applying for the job. And the NFL has that right. And that's just kind of the way it is. And I don't know if we got closer or further away. I don't know if this was a good weekend for Kaepernick, a bad weekend for Kaepernick. I just thought that on a weekend where everyone could have come out of this actually looking a little bit better than when they went into it, I don't know if anybody does or is. I do know that for the first time in a long time, we actually heard words from Colin Kaepernick's mouth. Here's what he had to say in his post-workout interview.
It's important that y'all are here. Y'all been attacked for the last 3 years. Y'all continue to be attacked. We appreciate what y'all do. We appreciate you being here today. We appreciate the work you do for the people and telling the truth. That's what we want in everything. I've been ready for 3 years. I've been denied for 3 years. We all know why I came out here, showed it today in front of everybody. We have nothing to hide. So we're waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running. Stop running from the truth. Stop running from the people. We're out here. We're ready to play. We're ready to go anywhere. My agent, Jeff Nally, is ready to talk to any team. I interview with any team at any time. I've been ready. I'm staying ready. And I'll continue to be ready. And to all the people that came out here today to support, I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. To the people that aren't here, I'm thinking of you. I appreciate you supporting from where you are. We'll continue to give you updates as we hear. We'll be waiting to hear from Roger Goodell, the NFL, the 32 teams. We'll let you know if we hear from them. Ball's in their court. We're ready to go.
Ray, Matt, did Colin Kaepernick get closer to or further from a return to the NFL?
I think the moment the NFL asked him to sign the waiver, which you don't, you actually don't do for most workouts. At that moment, it became the sham that we suspected it was, because it really was, in the NFL's view, a way to get him to relinquish his rights to sue the league again, which he's entitled to do, without any guarantee that there was a job waiting for him by anybody. Basically, the league said, we're going to set up this thing and we'll look at you, but that's all we're going to do. But in exchange, you have to waive your rights.
And not just that.
And well, let me finish my thought. And the thing that was most infuriating about it was that the NFL didn't have to do this at all under any circumstances. The NFL doesn't set up workouts. They did this because they wanted the waiver. And then at that point, they still could have said, we're not signing you. We're not interested in you. Because ultimately, if Colin Kaepernick is a football decision, a football team should have said, we want you to come in and work out. The NFL went to the extraordinary lengths of calling this, setting it up the way they did, and then said, all right, we want you to waive your rights for the right to just throw in shorts. That's all they were promising. And that's what was disingenuous about it.
So why'd we do it? Why'd we do it?
They not just asked him to wait because he didn't know he was going to get that waiver till the day of the workout, in part because they threw this together in an absurdly short amount of time. And not only did they ask him to waive his rights for no good reason in a way that they'd never asked anyone to do in a workout, not only was this workout organized in a way no other workout's ever been organized by the league, which is bizarre, they also said no media, and you're not even allowed to videotape it yourself. So the only video of this that will ever exist is the one the NFL themselves takes. Scouts can't videotape it. Colin can't videotape it. No media allowed. Given what he's just gone through at the hands of this organization, how could he possibly trust them?
Well, I don't blame his skepticism
in that situation. And so I hear what you and Peter King are saying, like, if you really want to play so bad, why don't you just go throw? In this scenario, my answer to that, if I'm Colin Kaepernick, would be because this doesn't seem like a thing that is moving me any closer to playing, and it does seem like the NFL is asking me to sign stuff to play into their further not allowing me to play. It seems like a double cross. It reeks of double cross. And the other thing is, as far as the job interview narrative goes, again, I totally understand what you're saying. Except when we take a step back and realize that's not how most NFL players get in the league.
Even no,
unsigned
not.
Ones. They don't have to have a job interview with the league. A team just goes and signs them. Sometimes, even if they've been found guilty of much more heinous crimes than anything Colin Kaepernick has ever done, a team can just walk up to them on the street and say, hey, you want to play? And they can go, yeah, let's play. And yet, that can't happen with Colin Kaepernick for some reason. It's all too much. And to put it on him, I think, is just... And not that I'm saying you did that today, but there are people who are doing that, and I think it's just naive at this point.
Very interesting stuff. We've got, at the top of the hour, Michael Irvin joining us. We got to take a quick break here. When we come on back, a few of your calls. 888-957-9570. Oh, it is a monster Monday here on 95.7 The Game. All of this coming up courtesy of Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Good to have you here this Monday afternoon. We've got Michael Irvin coming up in about 10 minutes from right now. We're going to dive into everything that happened in the NFL. Where are we here already? 11, man. Week 11 wraps up with a Monday nighter tonight from Mexico City. The Chiefs are at the Chargers. A Charger win would put the Raiders in first place in the AFC West. So how about that? 888-957-9570. We just were speaking with Peter King. Very interesting interview. We wrapped up with Colin Kaepernick. What we had to say were all of us, I think, unsure and unclear of what we just saw. I think anybody trying to provide you with just open and shut case there is nothing left to consider here is missing out on this Kaepernick story. I don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. We all want to throw our biases into it. We're all interpreting things differently. The main question is he closer to or further from returning to the NFL this Monday as to where he was on Friday? And I think the honest to God's answer is further from, not closer to, the NFL career that we were talking about on Friday.
I think he's no closer or further away because this was a sham from the start, which means that, to my way of thinking, he had no chance before. Saturday made sure he had no chance, and he has no chance today. It's done. The NFL was running a show. The Kaepernick people didn't bite, and that's it. I don't think this is going to be approached again.
I agree with all of that, except I would make it 99.99 instead of 100. I mean, I don't think it's utterly impossible, but I think it is almost impossible, and I don't think this weekend changed anything. I mean, I and maybe more importantly, and I think this was the point Ray was making, it never had a chance to change anything.
I think you're right. I think I should say 99% because it may become part of a settlement at some point.
Or something. Who knows?
But I mean, the one thing that I said last week that I am not utterly forgetting is that I thought there was some legal reason why this was happening. And it turned out there was a legal reason why it was happening. When there's a football reason for this to happen, and I don't know when that's going to be because this will be now 3 full years.
I mean, there has been football reasons for this to happen, and no one's done it. For 3 years, Tom Savage is a football reason for this to happen. We've watched football reasons for this to happen on Sundays most weeks of the last 2.5 years, and it hasn't happened. So,
I'm saying is the reason why this hasn't happened yet is somebody's making football judgments. I don't think they are. I think for the NFL doing it the way they did, they decided, this is a legal thing. We're going to get him to back off of the one thing we're worried about. In exchange for a tryout with no guarantee of anything. And he would have been a fool to participate in that.
Michael Irvin at the top of the hour. Your calls until then. Steven in Oakland. Hello, Steven. You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys. I'm really happy that you're covering this topic. So I would like to thank you for that. I guess I'm with Ray on this one. I guess the example I could give you is, Damon, remember a couple of years ago when you had left the other station and before you were working for the game, imagine they come, they say, we want you to work for you, us. And right before your first show, they hand you this contract saying, no matter what we do to you, we can't sue you. Now, Damon, I know you're a man of principles. I know you wanted to work on the radio again, but you wouldn't take that contract. And I don't like the Peter Kings of the world being like, oh, well, he should just forego all legal sense and just sign it because he wants to play in the league. He's not starving. You know, I think what Colin wants to do is wait for a league that is willing to play fair. And more power to him if he wants to wait for a league that is willing to do business.
But, Steven, how can you wait? You're 32 years old. I mean, the world.
All right. He'll be waiting forever.
Right. I mean, the 32, 33, no one's definitely going to be interested at 34. I mean, it's like a biological ticking clock, and there isn't this extended period of time for him to just wait around. But
I think that's
the
decision he made, though, right? The decision he made was it's more I am not willing to throw absolutely everything out the window for an attempt to get back in the league that I don't even believe they're sincere about.
Look, I think I'm a little naive on the topic because I thought that the Nike settlement was basically an agreement that he's walking away from any playing opportunities to go do something else.
But, what do you mean the Nike settlement?
I thought that he had found a higher calling and a more satisfying avenue to which live his life than to quarterbacking a football team. That's what I thought.
The settlement
I think what we've discovered is everything we think when something happens turns out to be false.
I'm confused about what we're talking about, because the settlement was the thing with Eric Reed was in that. He's been playing the whole time.
Yeah, but I didn't know if there was an element to Kaepernick's to just, hey, thanks for coming. We're going to pay you out more. I really didn't know.
Okay. No. I think they have maintained through the whole process that he wanted to play all along.
Yeah. On Friday, everybody was parroting out this leak that Jay-Z is the guy who sort of,
forced the NFL.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with it.
No, nothing whatsoever to do with it. This was a Jeff Pass show from the start. And it's a reminder that when we hear NFL news that is going to either put the league in a bad light or a good one, it's already been leaked by somebody with a very real vested interest, one way or the other, which is why you can't trust any of it. It turned out the one thing everybody says, well, no, the settlement that he already signed covered all this anyway, so that had nothing to do with it, when in fact it had everything to do with it. The lesson here is we get lied to on this all the time, and the only way to truly understand it is when you hear something, sit back for 3 days and wait for it to sift out, because the truth isn't coming out in 24 or 48 hours.
And that's why I don't begrudge Kaepernick saying, hey, look, I just want to get my video eyeballs on this too. You can have your copy of the tape. I'll have my copy of the tape. And no clever editing will be done on either of our parts. And we're checks and balances on that.
Seems like an easy ask to me.
Yeah. Now, if it was, Nike wants to come in and film an ipso facto commercial,
that's
I could
different.
See why the NFL would be like, no, we ain't doing that. I don't know. This is Bud in Oakland before we get to Michael Irvin at the top of the hour. Real quick, these calls, and then we got Michael. What's up, Bud?
Real quick, fellas. Hey, two things. Ray, if you can help me understand this playoff scene, because I'm seeing that they have the Colts over the Raiders, and the Raiders already beat the Colts, although we lost to the Texans, and the Texans, lost to the Colts or beat the Colts. But that's one thing. The other thing, as far as Kaepernick, man, if you sue the company, and they felt like you made them look like fools, but you were steadily trying to get back in the organization, which they hold the key to. Don't you think that company would try to make you look like a fool as well? Because they're sitting back looking like, look, this guy still wants a piece of the action. So, yeah, it could have been a bamboozling scheme just to get this guy out of there that wanted to waive his rights and everything. But let me get your take on that, Rattle. Thanks for taking the call.
Okay, the reason why the Colts are listed in the standings ahead of the Raiders is because the Colts right now I win the tiebreaker over Houston, which would make them the division winner. That's why.
And then Houston wins the tiebreaker over Oakland for the wild card. That's right.
Correct. Yeah. So basically, Indianapolis would become.
And Kansas City also wins the tiebreaker.
Yeah. Indianapolis would become the 3 seed if the season ended today, and Houston would be the 6. So they'd play each other. How cool for them.
Nate in Petaluma. Hello, Nate.
Hey, guys. I'll make it as quick as I can. So when Kaepernick took over for Alex Smith, it was like the second or third game. Ray Lewis said, give defensive coordinators 2 years. They'll figure this guy out. He won't be able to do anything. 2 years later, they figured him out. He wasn't able to do anything. Fast forward to Saturday. I only saw him throw 2 passes on television. One was behind the receiver. The other one was wobblier than my 9-year-old nephew throws.
I'm not sure what you were watching.
Yeah, look, all of these. There's not a single
entire workout where he threw lasers all over the field. I honestly don't know what that's
about. But I also don't give you a single credit for.
No, agreed. That's not super impressive.
They're throwing against air and no pressure.
But that's what a workout is.
Right. It's one of those things where it's designed to where everyone's supposed to look good. The only issue would be if you didn't look good. Then we got now we got a problem because you weren't able to throw well against air.
Correct, but let's not pretend he looked bad. That didn't happen.
Well, okay, I'll take his first point because I think his second point's been pretty well dismissed. First point is, defensive coordinators figured out what he had, but he was also playing on a team with absolutely no weapons whatsoever. It was 2-14 on merit, and he wasn't the only reason. So you put any quarterback with that level of talent, he will look bad. This was not about football. Football did not drive him out of football.
And even if he had had pretty good talent, how often does a 26, 27-year-old who leads a team to a Super Bowl appearance end up out of the league 2 years later if he loses his job or the defense is catch up with him.
Right.
Six more teams try him out first under normal circumstances, and that's the whole point.
You must have told there must have been a body in the trunk.
Right.
there must have been a serious amount of grams attached to him in the search warrant, which kicked down his front door and found that he was running a drug cartel or weapons right. or something.
That's how 27-year-old stud athletes wash out of the league.
Bad quarterbacks get second, third, fourth looks all the time. It's just a disappointing day, I think. If anyone had hoped that what's the saying, like the better angels of our nature mm-hmm. were going to come down and either land on the NFL or Team Kaepernick or time has started to heal this wound or anything. No, it was obvious that everybody was as freshly upset with everyone in the moment. Yeah, it did not work out well. Welcome to your 4 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
The man, the myth, the legend, the Hall of Famer, the playmaker. You catch him on NFL Network. Michael Irvin joining us here on 95.7 The Game for his weekly conversation on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Also, Michael is brought to you by Porsche of Walnut Creek, a Stead automotive dealer. Michael, thank you for joining us here. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, good to have you on again. Today, what do you know? Jimmy Garoppolo, he gives his supporters a lot of ammunition. He gives his critics an awful lot of ammunition. And once again, he gets the Niners into the win column. What a day.
Yeah, it is what a day, man. And if a cough doing this, I apologize because I'm trying to get sick. And I told Sick, I don't have time for you. I don't got time to play.
There you go. It got me last week, man. So power through it.
God, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to walk right through it. That's what I do. But yes, absolutely. But the reality is, on all of that, you're the quarterback of a one-loss team, and we got a lot to talk about because I talked to you guys about that Russell Wilson game, you know, which was by far for me the best game of the year. That game, San Fran and Seattle, was the best game of the year. I know you didn't come out like you wanted to, and just by that missed field goal,
it was outstanding.
But you got to admit that was the best game of the year.
Oh, it was outstanding.
Absolutely,
I saw a win percentage chart, and it looked like somebody laying in the hospital, like beep, 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 beep. Like either
right.
team could have won away.
Right. That's what I mean. Excuse me. But that it made it so good. All of those lead changes, man, and you knew what was on the line. It was a battle. Everybody's will was laid out in front of you. And it made it so incredible to watch, man. That was just a great game. Now, I don't want you guys to get crazy about what you saw yesterday, you know, and even how it started yesterday and everything, because when you're coming off that kind of emotional high, usually it's tough to turn around and play the next week. And then to play a game team like Arizona the next week. And a lot of teams end up losing that game. That was champion pedigree to find a way to win that game coming off that Monday night game. So you got to keep that and measure that and keep it in place where it is.
I know we want to rehash yesterday a lot, but the thing that I wonder out of yesterday is, given the fact that the Packers come to Santa Clara on Sunday night, who do you think we learn more about after that game, Green Bay or San Francisco?
No doubt Green Bay. Green Bay. San Francisco is clearly in that hunt. We did it just the other day on the show, top teams in the NFC, you know, and each we took San Francisco, Seattle, and New Orleans. So that's not Green Bay. Green Bay has to keep proving that they are one of those teams because right now, you would have to say those teams are San Francisco, Seattle, and New Orleans. So I think you learn more about San Francisco. Now, that being said, each time you get in these games, that's another game to learn. You know, we talked about it. We talked about the Rams. When you beat the Rams, that was supposed to be one of those marker games, but, you know, it really isn't. But Seattle was one of those marker games. And you had that game won, yet but by that kick going, why, right. And now Green Bay will be one of those marker games because similar to what Seattle was, but I don't think they're as good as Seattle, But they do have that quarterback. And with that quarterback, that means they're always in the game. And you're going to have to go through those kind of guys to get to the Super Bowl and those kind of guys when you get in the Super Bowl.
So obviously the team they saw yesterday wasn't that good, Michael. But the quarterback, man, I got to say, Kyler Murray impressed the heck out of me. And just in terms of the way he moves around, we've seen running quarterbacks. We've seen small quarterbacks. I don't recall seeing someone that quick at that position.
Have you not been watching Baltimore?
He's fast. He has moves. He's an incredible runner. But right. But Murray bounces in like a jittery Mighty Mouse sort of way that even Lamar Jackson doesn't. It's different. Is that fair?
Right. Murray has shorter steps than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he's any quicker in a short area than Lamar Jackson.
That's fair.
Now I would put Lamar and Kyler Murray in that class. That's different than Michael Vick or
Kaepernick.
Some of the other guys are the Cam Newtons of the world, because those guys have long speed.
Right.
That's the long speed. But Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, you go from 0 to 60. In 60 on, you're flying. But I'm talking about getting from 0 to 60. How quickly then you get to full speed? Those two guys, and the only reason you see Kyler Murray as having a little bit more than Lamar Jackson is because Kyler Murray is a little shorter. And what happens when he's a little shorter? Let me give it to you. His legs aren't splitting apart that much longer, so he's having more ground contact. I used to love, when I studied DBs, guys, let me tell you, I studied their stride. And Deion, what made Deion so hard to play against is when you watch Deion run, he never lifts his legs high off the ground. And that's the problem for me, because I need, if you got ground contact, you got more ability to cut. When you have long strides, you have less ability to cut. So that's when I started learning to lean into guys like Deion, because he's not lifting his legs high enough to have to take an extra step to come back and cover me. So I would lean into him and give him a little elbow to help him go that way when I go the other way, since he's not having ground contact. Kyler Murray, a lot of ground contact.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.